Let's turn to Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 19. Proverbs 19, or 4, verses 1 through 19. And then our text is just the first portion of that, Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 9. The call to our children to get wisdom. Proverbs 4. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he, my father, taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Don't go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they've done wrong. They're robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Verses 1 through 9, again, our text. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's always a surprise when you first hear yourself say, when I was young, to your kids. What did I just say? When you say that, you know you're getting older. So you try to avoid that as long as you can. When you say to your kids, when I was young, they know that a speech is just about to begin and a lesson's about to be laid upon their lives, when I was young. But that's really what our text is, Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 9. It's a dad saying to his sons, when I was young. When I was young, my daddy told me this. And now I'm passing that on to you, Grandpa's wisdom. That's what this is. Grandpa's speech to me that I'm passing along to you. It's a generational thing, the passing on, the transmission of biblical wisdom. Of course, it's not really about Grandpa's wisdom, but about God's wisdom from God's Word. And that's the emphasis in Proverbs 2 and 3. What is interesting, when he gets to chapter 4, the focus is now on the instruments God uses to pass his wisdom on to our children. The dads, together with the moms. They're both mentioned, the dads and the moms. And that's why we want to speak about it as God's wisdom passed on through us from Grandpa to Dad to us and us to our children. And that's the way it is to go. As we witness God's covenant signified and sealed to Kaylee and Finn in baptism, we're reminded of the great privilege that our children have of growing up with the true gift, the gift of wisdom, and of the great responsibility we have as parents to pass along that wonderful wisdom to our children, and the responsibility of the children to embrace that wisdom, to get it and make it their own. Grandpa's wisdom from God passed along to Dad, to me, and so on. We want to see first wisdom's world described here. Wisdom's worth and then wisdom's reward. Wisdom's world. Here's the world of biblical wisdom. Look at verses 1 through 4. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, And be attentive that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. The Christian home is a unique world or culture where godly wisdom is passed on from one generation to the next, and that's how God keeps himself present in every home. That's how God himself, his word, his Christ, his message of salvation, keeps himself present in our lives through that transmission of biblical wisdom from parents to children, from father to son. And so we have this repeated refrain in chapters 1 through 9, which is a collection of wisdom songs, songs to wisdom. My son, or in this one, my sons, hear, O sons, plural. I'm teaching you what my dad taught me, and presumably what his dad taught him, and what his dad taught him before that, and which I expect you to take and teach your children. That's wisdom's world in God's covenant. Old and New Testament, you find this. God trains his covenant children through the instruction of dads and moms to teach the next generation to walk with God. And that transmission involves three T's. The first thing is taking charge of your home. Taking charge. That is exercising godly authority. Taking command of your children, being strong in their midst. The Bible says folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline, the rod of instruction, the rod of training will drive it far from him. You are the hand of God, Tim and Sherry, Jason and Alicia. You are the hand of God, parents. You are the hand of God that he uses in your children's lives to give them wisdom, who is Christ, Christ crucified, risen from the dead, and living for Christ, walking in Christ's ways. And that means taking charge. And notice those strong verbs at the beginning. Hear, O sons, be attentive. Don't forsake my teaching. That should be normal. That we're directive. Remember the manifesto of a man. Abraham is given that manifesto of a man. Genesis 18:19. Where God says, I have chosen Abraham that he would command his household to walk in the way of the Lord. That he would command his household. David Hubbard writes, we are part of a generation of whom it has been said, ours may be the first generation in history that did not know how to raise its own young in North America. Ours may be the first generation in history that did not know how to raise its own young. And I believe the main culprit is the evil of relativism, the idea that there's no such thing as truth and everybody has the right to choose his own truth. And that's why instructing your children in the Lord's ways is considered child abuse. Listen to Richard Dawkins. And in that climate, parents get scared. I have to back off. I have to let my child go his own way. And that kills teaching, it kills training, it kills leadership in our culture. It undermines the authority of parents, has a devastating impact on family and culture, society. That's the first T of wisdom's world, taking charge of our home. And that doesn't mean tyranny, and it doesn't mean being abusive, but neither does it mean being scared and being passive. It means being firm and loving. And that's the second T, family ties. Relationship with our children. You can hear the love in this father's voice as he appeals to the hearts of his children. Hear, O sons, be attentive that you may gain insight. I give you good precepts. Don't forsake my teaching. And then he speaks about his own relationship. When I was a son with my father, beautiful words. Tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, with my father, in the sight of my mom. Close family ties. Relationship has been built by love. Brothers and sisters, authority is most successfully exercised where a relationship between parent and child has been established by love. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Family ties, reflecting the love of God the Father for us, His children. When I was a son with my father, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, here's a positive relationship with mom and dad. And that's how Proverbs starts. Listen to chapter 1, verse 8. Hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Dad and mom are in this together. And brothers and sisters, that means getting off our phones. That means getting away from the TV. That means taking a break from work and meetings and games to spend time with our children, especially around the table and family worship and conversation. Oh, let's invest in them. That personal family conversation time. Oh, let there be laughter. Let there be playing games together. That's an important part of it. But there has to be family ties. Taking charge, family ties, and the third T, truth. To pass on biblical wisdom, we need to have a commitment to the truth of God's Word. You've got to believe. You've got to pass on God's truth as it is in Jesus Christ. Though this passage is focused on the agents of wisdom, the parents, my son, don't forsake my teaching. He speaks of the words of my mouth, my words, my commandments. The earlier chapters make it very clear that that wisdom is not just dad spouting his own opinions and mom sharing her own feelings. This is mom and dad bringing God's wisdom, the fear of the Lord, God's word, and teaching and training children who the Lord has taken into his covenant of grace. Teaching them how he saves you, Kaylee. He saves you, Finn, from your sins. And now he wants you to accept him and give your heart to him. Trust him and love him and live for him by making the right choices every day in everything we do. That's wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 6. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Teach the truth of God. Because as we read in verses 10 through 19, as we bring truth to our children, the world is standing there with its arms wide open, dreaming day and night how to grab your children away from you and make them captives to do evil. The evil one is busy day and night to snatch our kids from us. And we have that great privilege of being their protectors by taking charge of their lives, establishing family ties through love, and teaching them the truth of the fear of the Lord. And dear Tim and Sherry and Jason and Alicia, trust God to use you to guard your little ones, to guard your family. He will do so. That's his promise. Secondly, the main call here is that we want our children to learn wisdom's worth. That's part of Grandpa's speech. My dad taught me to get wisdom, and that's now what I'm going to pass on to you. That's the main burden. Wisdom is the most valuable thing you could ever have in your life. It's so important. It's worth all the gold and silver. You should be willing to trade in anything and everything for it, if that's what it takes. So kids, says the dad, from the grandpa who talked to him, get her. That is wisdom. She's the woman. The woman of great value in Proverbs. Get her, embrace her, and prize her highly. I want to take a little bit more time now, brothers and sisters, to try to get to a closer definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the Christ-centered life, the Christ-centered life described in the whole book of Proverbs. It comes from the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Because you think so highly of God as your Savior, who died for you, took your condemnation and wrath, and who rose again to give you a new life, because you value him, you think so highly of him, you want to follow him, you want to offer your whole life to him in daily obedience. That's wisdom. That's Christ-centered wisdom. A prizing of Jesus, my Savior, what he has done to save me from my sins and give me eternal life. That I'm going to follow him wherever he leads and wherever his commandments take me, no matter what. No matter how much it hurts me. That's wisdom, and it is valuable to have that commitment to Christ. because of his commitment to us in his covenant, in which he bled and died for us. That commitment to Christ. Wisdom teaches you how to work, how to speak, how to marry, how to handle your money, how to think about life God's way. Let me say that again. Wisdom teaches you how to work, how to speak, how to marry, how to handle your money, how to think about life God's way. I recommend a book by Kenneth Wingate, Lessons from Proverbs, A Father's Gift, referring to earthly dads and heavenly, the heavenly dad. A Father's Gift, a great help to children to apply wisdom to dealing all the different ways the book of Proverbs does, how to handle wealth. For example, this is what he says about wealth in one spot. Possessions can be like the squeaky wheel that always need oil. They can distract us with their constant demand. Little tidbits like that. On friends and neighbors, dealing with friends and neighbors, on fighting self-centeredness, how to work, sexual purity, health, and authority and leadership, and so on. But this is how Wingate defines it. Wisdom is the Christ-centered life of having the right perspective, making the right choices, saying the right words, taking the right path through trial and temptations, and spending your time and resources on the right things, the things that matter most. It's living by faith in the daily grind. It's living for God day by day, the God who committed his life to you and his Son and died for you to save you and give you life. Wisdom is really the life and character of the mind of Christ coming out of your life. The wisdom, the mind and character of Christ coming out of your eyes. You have the eyes of Christ in what you refuse to look at, but also in what you see when you see the needs of others. It's the life and character and mind of Christ coming out of your mouth. You speak the truth in love. Out of your hands, what you do and what you refuse to do. Out of your feet, where you go and where you refuse to go. Christ himself is called God's wisdom to us in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1. And so that's what my dad passed on to me, says the grandpa here. Or the dad says about the grandpa. That's what my dad, what grandpa passed on to me. And what I want to pass on to you. I want to show it to you. I want to tell it to you. I want you to learn from me how God wants you to live. It's a very urgent matter. It's the key to living for God in this sinful world, the most valuable gift anyone could ever receive. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world where people are making such foolish and senseless choices, whether it's about smoking, toking, vaping, drinking too much, wasting money, wasting time on Facebook, not looking for the right man, the right woman, gaming too much, speaking rashly and harshly, losing your temper, moving in with your girlfriend or boyfriend, a convenience relationship apart from a covenant commitment, rejecting your true sexual identity, and above all, rejecting God as the greatest good in your life, in a culture where people are making such foolish choices and ruining their lives. We have wisdom, God's word, teaching us how to make the right choices, say the right words, have the right perspective, take the right path through trial and temptation, spend your time and resources on the right things, the things that matter most. That's the gift of God's covenant. And it's so extremely valuable and priceless. And we're saying to our children, kids, get wisdom. What's the most important thing in life? It's not career. It's not cash. It's not fun. It's not popularity. It's not happiness. It's not amazing experiences. Some people really suffer from FOMO, fear of missing out. And then they put that on their kids. Oh, my greatest fear for my child is that he's going to miss out on some very amazing experience in life. And so they begin to be anxious for them and forget about it. Don't make them be anxious about gaining earthly experiences when what's most important is that they get wisdom. Let us put that front and center in front of our children and teach them that that's what matters most. Get wisdom, verse 5. Get insight. Don't forget. Don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her. She will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. I love that verse. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, verse 8. She will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. What's he saying? Wisdom? Get it. Love it. Prize it. Embrace it. Those are the four things he says. Get it. Love it. Prize it highly. Embrace it. This is the beginning of wisdom. Get wisdom. It's like saying the way to be wealthy is to get money. Yeah? That's obvious. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. Yeah, that's obvious. The way to be wise is get wisdom. But that's the point, kids. You're not just going to become wise. You're not just going to get wise by playing computer games and eating fruit roll-ups. It's not going to happen that way. You got to get it. You got to be active. You got to pursue it. Your parents can put it all in front of you. Pass it on to you. Show it to you. But you got to grab it. You got to grab the gifts of the covenant that are put in front of your life. It's not going to happen as you veg on the couch and read cheap romances. It's not going to do it for you. That's his point to his sons. Get it. How do you do that? Well, let me list some ideas. You have to pay attention to what your parents and Christian leaders teach you. Don't switch yourself on off when your parents are talking or your leaders are talking to you. You have to read the Bible and commit verses to memory. We hope to begin a Bible memorization program this year for our Sunday school classes over 3 years. A total of 75 verses. Lord willing, called fighter verses. Help us fight our sin and fight falsehood as the sword of God. Word of the Spirit, sword of God. Commit verses to memory. Study Christian doctrine and application. Listen to good podcasts. Read good books that help you apply Christian teaching. A recent study by Lifeway Research shows that 70% of people who attend a Protestant church never or almost never read their Bibles. 70%. And that's why biblical illiteracy is at an all-time high. Brothers and sisters, it's not hard to read the Bible, is it? Every day a little for the rest of your life and you will get through a lot. But as Wingate writes, by allowing the mindless, incessant drone of television, the constant noise of computer games, and the endless feed of internet into our lives, we drown the soul's quest for growth and wisdom and stature. And this is a multi-generational problem. Biblical illiteracy is not only high among youth in the church today, but among grown-ups, even older people. Because we're not committed to the pursuit of wisdom anymore. We have become drunk, obsessed with the pleasures and the devices and the opportunities of our culture. And that's why he says, get it and don't forget it. So get it is now. Don't forget it when you're older. So it applies here to every age, doesn't it? Because we can forget it. We can lose touch with the Word of God. So, brothers and sisters, parents need to give wisdom, give God's wisdom, and kids need to get God's wisdom. I give you, verse 2, good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. Parents need to give God's wisdom. Kids need to get God's wisdom. So again, parents, as we heard about a few weeks ago from Deuteronomy 6, we need to surround Finn, Kaylee, and all our children with God's word, God's truth, God's promises, God's commandments, and help them to apply it to money, to wealth, to work, to pleasure, to computer, to marriage, to friendship, to all of life. As Deuteronomy says, impress the word on them when you sit at home and walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. In a very aggressively secular culture, congregation, where the goal of our government school system is to train your children to leave God out of your thoughts and out of most of your life. In a very aggressively secular culture, where our government school system is set on teaching us to think and behave as a fool, we need to give our children Christian schooling, whether at home or at school. And we need to surround their lives with God-fearing teachers. No country sends a little girl or a little boy into the battlefield. They first train them at boot camp until they're adult, and then they send them into the battlefield, and that's the way it is for Christ's army. Children must first be trained for battle, before they're sent into the battle after they've been prepared. So, children, what God graciously gives you in His covenant, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, training how to live for Him, get it. If you're 2 years old, get it. If you're 3, get it. If you're 10, get it. Get it. Hold fast to it. Love it is a verb he uses. Prize it highly and embrace it. That's what your grandpa told me to do with wisdom, and I did. The Spirit used my father's instruction to reach into my life and save me and make me want to live for Christ in all of life. Now I'm passing that on to you and praying that the Spirit will use what grandpa taught me and the Spirit used to save me and direct me. I'm praying that the Spirit will use that now, Finn and Kaylee, all our children, in your lives. The covenant is not an automatic arrangement. That's why there's this pleading from the Father. God, it's not automatic. God gives you His promises, you get baptized, and voila, there's a Christian. It's not an automatic arrangement. It's not a mechanical arrangement. It's a faith arrangement. God blesses you with His Word. He gives Himself to you in His great and precious promises and His covenant. And then He calls you to grab Him, to get Him, to believe in Him, trust Him, take hold of Him, prize Him, love Him, serve Him. And then that Word, that wisdom, will do wonderful things in our lives and in our children's lives. Just briefly, wisdom's reward. God's Word, because it's the Word of Christ crucified and risen from the dead, it's power of dying to the old self, coming to life of the new self, blood of Christ that washes away our sins, and the Spirit of Christ that gives us a new life. Because the Word has that power, when you get it, when you prize it, when you love that Word, when you seek to live out of that Word, brothers and sisters, that Word will shape you and grow your character. Look at how it will shape you and reward you. Proverbs 4, verse 6, don't forsake her, wisdom, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. Verse 8, prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Two more verbs in verse 9. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. She'll keep you. She'll guard you. She'll exalt you. She'll honor you. She'll put a garland on your head and she'll put a crown on you. Christ-centered wisdom will guard you, elevate you, and beautify you. As the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. And as that Word comes upon our lives, what will happen? So that the man of God, we could say the woman of God too, will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word rewards you. Wisdom rewards you when you grab onto it by giving you mature Christian character of truth and love. The measure of a man, that's the character of Jesus Christ. And that will begin to ooze from your pores, come out of your eyes and your ears and your mouth and your hands and your feet, out of your whole life. And she'll give you a place of honor. People will really look up to you and respect you for right reasons, not wrong. But she'll also guard you, keep you, so that you'll endure. You won't fall off the wagon along the way. And she'll beautify you and make you look more and more like Jesus. That was Grandpa's wisdom. That's Dad's wisdom for you. Above all, that's God's wisdom. Get wisdom. Amen. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank You and praise You that You have forgiven us and our children all our sins for the blood of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ. You received us through Your Holy Spirit as members of Your only begotten Son, and so adopted us as Your children. You sealed and confirmed this to us by holy baptism. We earnestly pray through Your beloved Son that You will always govern Kaylee and Finn by Your Holy Spirit. May they be nurtured in the Christian faith and in godliness, and grow and develop in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that they and all of us may see Your fatherly goodness and mercy, which You have shown to them. May they live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ. Give them courage to fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. And may they forever praise and magnify you and your Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, the one and only true God. Amen.